Well, Father, we thank you that nothing has been wasted. Nothing has been wasted. And like we learned about Joseph last week, whatever was intended for evil, whether by us or someone else, you work good out of it. And so that's the God that we come before this morning and the God that we want to get to know and trust and obey better as we spend time in your word. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me start off with a couple of questions for you. When was the last time you changed your oil? When was the last time you changed your mind this morning? When was the last time you changed a diaper? To the day, 37 years. Awesome. When was the last time you changed? All right, right on. So, our God is a God who calls us to change, to transformation. And we're going to talk about that. C.S. Lewis said, you can go back and change the beginning, but you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. And that's good. That is what we're going to talk about today as we look at Ephesians. Yes, all of it. But don't worry, no one's doing scripture from the heart today. What we are doing, though, is called a one-off sermon. That just means we're not in a series. We're between series, and when TW, our pastor, puts out the preaching schedule, there'll be blank spots that are up for grabs. And so whenever I see one of those, I know that I'm just going to go first to prayer and ask God what he wants me to say. But more than likely, I'm just going to go to what I've been studying and learning and then present that to you. And so that's what's happening, because since January, I've been in the book of Ephesians off and on. But that's my favorite place to go for quiet times. And so I've been writing stuff down, and we get the title today, Transformation Leads to Unity, Reflections from Ephesians. Sounds like the title of a good book I'll never write. But that's what we're doing today. We're looking at Ephesians. And as I looked at Ephesians, I saw two themes. Transformation and unity. And when you hear unity, please also hear oneness. Our God is one. Our God is three in one. And he calls us through Jesus to be one with him. And then if you're married, he has called you to be two that become one. And then we're all supposed to be a part of a church, I believe. And there's supposed to be unity among us as well. And so we're going to look at why those are so important. My name is Gino. I'm a shepherd and on the preaching team. If you are visiting, we are glad you're here. If you need a Bible, we have some in the back. And it is yours to keep, because we love the Word of God. And we want everyone to have access to it. In fact, today's sermon is brought to you by the Word of God. So, I mean, and they all should be. But I just wanted to make sure you knew that I get this sermon from my time with him. And so my question for you is, where are you reading in your time? And what are you getting from God? And if there's any condemnation in that statement or those questions, that wasn't from me and that wasn't from God. Because we need each other to be in the Word, I just want to encourage you, be in the Word. It is a love letter to us. Why wouldn't we want to keep reading it over and over and over again, right? God wants to spend time with you. He wants you to hear him say, I love you, and I have things to say to your heart. So please, my friends, read the Word, study it, pray it, draw it, sing it, journal about it, and then share it. Because I need to know what Jesus is up to in your life. And you know who really needs to hear you share it more than anything else? You. I'm not positive where my wife got this phrase, but she's been saying it a lot. It might be a sermon online, but we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. And so today we're going to do that a little bit. We're going to pray over ourselves. But first, I want to pray over you what Jesus prayed from his priestly prayer as we get started. Lord, I do not ask for those only, for these only, he's talking about the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that's us, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. So as we go for transformation in Christ and unity and oneness develops in us, may the world know that God has sent Jesus for them. So a little bit about what's going on in Ephesians. Paul is in jail in Rome because he asked that Caesar or Nero hear his case. One of the coolest things I learned in studying this was who might have been Paul's guards at the time. At that time in history, the Roman military started doing a new thing for them, anyway. They instead of killing off their prisoners of war or imprisoning them or selling them off to slavery, they gave them a chance to become Roman soldiers. That's what you do. That's what you were trained to do. Come on over to our side. But that was a huge transition, especially when you're talking about the Romans, the mighty Roman Empire, austere and august and structured, and they're fighting barbarians. They're fighting Gauls, right? Some of which went into battle naked, and we're going to civilize these people, and they're going to become soldiers for us. Well, they had a lot to learn. They had a lot to unlearn, kind of like becoming a Christian, huh? But that's what was happening around Paul. And so a Bible teacher that I love to study, a Bible history teacher, kind of threw out the idea that maybe these were the guys that were guarding Paul because they weren't going to be trusted with any real responsibility for a while. So they were getting the grunt work. So one of them might have had the job of guarding a short, balding, Jewish man with bad eyesight, right? So here's Paul hearing from his guards, maybe, we're not accepted. There was a lot of distrust among this system, right? So they're hearing from other Romans and other soldiers, you're not a real Roman. And yet that's what they're trying to be. At the same time, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, where you have Jews who are outcasts among their own people. You're not a real Jew anymore because you're following Jesus. So they're outcasts, but then they're casting out the Gentiles who have become Christians. But the Jews are telling them, you're not a real Jew. You have to be a Jew. And then you become a Christian. And they're trying to figure all that out. Either way, they were all outcasts in each other's eyes. And all of them were outcasts in their Roman occupiers' eyes, right? How is that any different for us? If we don't feel like an outcast sometimes, we're probably not doing something right. But this, in this place, is not where we should feel as outcasts. We're called to be transformed into the likeness of Christ and to have our minds renewed into the mind of Christ. We're called to walk in unity. Number one, with him. I'm going to talk about three main relationships where we're supposed to know unity or oneness. First, me and God. Then, if you're married, because I'm married, me and my wife. And because we're supposed to be, we are the church. We're supposed to be involved together. We need to know unity and oneness here. And so as we look at Ephesians, here's what I want to do. I want to go over, as I studied these chapters, places where I feel we were called, number one, to transformation, and then later to unity. So we're going to look at transformation first. But keep in mind, it's you that's supposed to be transformed. So think about a DIY show where a car is restored, a kitchen is remodeled, a garden is redone, and there's a before and an after, right? The big reveal, move that bus. So it's done, right? But we're the big reveal. But actually, we're a work in progress. We are being transformed all the time. And the big reveal doesn't happen until we're face to face with Jesus. But keep that in mind as we read these together. So here's what's about to happen. You're going to stand with me, and we're going to read through a few slides where God has called us to transformation. The reason I'm asking you to stand and read it, because you are praying over yourself. You are declaring something. And it is no different than singing, I surrender all. I am yours. Take my life, O Lord. We sang it. We're going to say it. It feels a little different when you say it. But we're going to do this together, please. And as we look at these calls for transformation, I hope that what gets built up in you is also a call to unity and oneness in these relationships that I just mentioned. So if you don't mind, please stand with me. And because I put them in first person and paraphrased them, it kind of sounds like, wait, is that the way it's written in the Bible? No. But I put the reference there for you, so you know I didn't make it up. And because some of you are, you want the references, and so there they are. All right, let's start, please. I am a faithful saint. I am blessed in Christ in the heavenly places. I have been chosen to be blameless and holy before the Lord. I am adopted through Jesus Christ. I am redeemed by his blood and forgiven through his grace. I have an inheritance in Christ. I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. I was dead in my sins, but God made me alive in Christ. I am saved. I was separated from Christ, alienated, a stranger with no hope, but Jesus brought me near. I am a fellow citizen with the saints and members of God's household. I have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. I am strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in my inner being. Christ dwells in my heart. I can comprehend the love of God. I am filled with the fullness of God. I will be trained up and equipped for good works designed for me. I will attain unity and maturity. I will grow up into Christ. I do not walk in the futility of my mind with darkened understanding. I am not alienated from God. I don't give in to sensuality, greed, impurity, corruption, nor deceitfulness. I am renewed in the spirit of my mind, a new self created in the likeness of God, righteous and holy. I am to imitate God. Instead of being sexually immoral, impure, or covetous, I am thankful. I don't participate in filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking. I was darkness, but now I am light in the Lord. I don't take part in the works of darkness, but instead I expose them. I know the will of God. I don't get drunk, but I am filled with the Spirit. Amen. Have a seat, and thank you guys. All right. Now, before we go on from that, I want to go back and just look at a couple of the chapters that those came from. In chapter 4, I want to talk about transformation, the transformation of the thief and a transformation that I went through. So when you look at Ephesians 4:28, it says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. That is a huge transformation, because the thief has the personality of selfishness and self-centeredness. He does not care about you. He doesn't care that that's your grandmother's heirloom, and you wanted to give it to your granddaughter. It's something to steal, to make money for himself, and you're just the chump that he stole from. That's his heart. Then comes Jesus. Then comes Jesus, and he changes his ways. He stops stealing. He starts making a living with his own hands. And his heart changes. And one day, he helps those in need. Whereas before, he could care less. That's transformation. Throughout most of high school and a couple of years of college, my language was foul. I had a filthy mind, an X-rated sense of humor. I was cutting, sarcastic, and gossip and lies were my native tongue. To the point that about two, three years into my walk with God, the lying piece was so strong that anyone could come up to me and say, "Hey, can I talk to you about something?" And I'd say, "Sure. Please don't let me lie." Because I know it could come at any moment, right? But God worked on me, transformed me. And I remember going from just stop. That's not a good thing to do. So just stop. That's behavior management, though. But at least it's acknowledging, right? Like the thief saying, "I need to stop stealing." But I changed. And then I remember thinking, "I don't really want to do this anymore. I don't want to get a laugh that way." Then later on, I'd hear it and just kind of barely smirk. But I could see, I could sense changes happening. And then all of a sudden, I kind of noticed that people weren't joking that way in front of me anymore. And that was weird. And then I got to the point where I was offended if I did hear it. But not in the "Oh, I'm holier than you are and that offends me." It grieved me. It's different. It grieved me. And then last, I remember when a couple of guys made a sexual innuendo and I didn't get it. And I knew I didn't get it. I knew I didn't get it when they kind of looked at each other and rolled their eyes and shook their heads like it was just wasted on him. And I was like, "You, Sharon," I was like, "Yes, I didn't get it. I'm innocent again. I'm a nerd for Jesus." And I'm proud of it. But that's the type of transformation in different areas, in so many different areas, right? That we're supposed to go through. No, we get to go through. So I pray for us, for that, for you, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 would be true. "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And it is not a one-time thing. It's a transformation process that happens over a while. But it brings unity. More than anything, it brings unity between you and God as you keep working out your salvation in fear and trembling. And his kindness leads you to repentance. But then it brings unity between you and the relationships that you're in, and you and your church. A couple of other things out of chapter 5 that I want to point out to you. First is the power of thanksgiving. In Ephesians 5, 3 through 4, it says, "But sexual immorality and impurity or covetousness must not be even named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving." And if you've heard my testimony before, you just know about the filthy mouth and the sexual immorality. So first time I read those words, I saw a scale, you know, those old balances, right? And so what I heard was, don't let these things be among you. Sexual immorality, filthiness, this one's about 5 or 6 on the list, right? And I saw that scale tip this way. And as I'm reading, I'm expecting God, the next verses are going to be about 6 things to do, which will balance it, and then about 4 or 5 more to do, which will tip the scales in God's favor. But if you read that verse, "But instead, thanksgiving." Wait, don't do all of this, but instead, thanksgiving. And it tips it in God's favor. That tells you how much we have to be thankful for. That tells you how good God is to us. Also out of chapter 5, It says that one time I was darkness. It doesn't say I was in darkness. It says I was darkness, but I've been brought into the light. Then verse 11 says, take no part in those works of darkness, but expose them. And the reason I want to hang there a little bit is because when we hear expose them, it kind of makes us feel like, all right, where is it? Where is it? I'm going on a witch hunt. I'm a Pharisee. I'm going to let everybody know what they're doing. And it's not saying go boycott or picket or yell at someone you don't agree with. I believe it means expose the sin that is still within you. Keep going. Keep bringing out the sins that you're struggling with. That secret sin or the sin you once had defeated, but it's creeping back in. Or what about this one? The sin that's not so bad, it's tolerated. In fact, a lot of people in church do it. But God has been dealing with you and asking you to get rid of it. Expose that. Simply means confess your sins one to another. Get help. Talk to someone. Because when you confess your sins one to another, you're healed. Your relationships are healed. That's transformation that leads to unity or oneness. And when we only look at others, it makes us like a Pharisee. Last one from chapter 5. When it comes to being drunk versus being filled, whether the spirit that is controlling you is alcohol or holy, you are under the influence of something or someone, and it changes the way you act. When someone's had too much to drink and their behavior starting to be a little weird, people will say, have you been drinking? Like, where's this coming from? It should be the same way with us. People should wonder why we act the way we do, why we love each other the way we do, why there's unity and oneness, why our marriages look the way they do. The verse that I think of is in Acts 4:13 that says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's what we need. We need to be with Jesus so that the world sees something different in us. Transformation in my heart and in my mind from sinner to saint should bring about unity in my life. Unity and oneness between me and God, between me and my wife, between me and you guys, so that the world will know that God has sent Jesus. So now I want to look at calls for unity or oneness out of Ephesians. But this time, we're not going to stand and read them. I'm just going to share them with you again in paraphrased form, but I have the references for them if you need them. God has a plan to unite all things in Him. He made both Jew and Gentile one new man. That's racial and ethnic unity. The whole church is being built together, even as you and I are individually being built together into a dwelling place for God. You see, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places through us, the church. How can we show off God if we're not united? And what is this manifold wisdom of God? It's the gospel. It's Jesus. It's us being one with Him. Every family in heaven and on earth is named from the Father. And when you name something, that means you have authority over it. So He's all our dads, all y'all. We are called to walk in with one another in humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. We are to be eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When there's an argument, we're not supposed to let it go. We're supposed to be eager to fix this because this is a reflection of God. We are called, all of us, to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And lastly, we are being built up until we attain unity and maturity in the faith. So we're not going to look a whole lot because of time at the end of 5 and 6. 6 talks about the armor of God. And all I want to bring up about that is that it says put on the full armor of God. We need it all. You don't let a football player or a hockey player go out on the field or on the ice with some of the protective gear. They need to have it all on. And when it comes to the relationships that are mentioned in chapter 5 and 6, husbands and wives, fathers and sons, slaves and bondservants, that's you and your employer, or your employees. The umbrella verse says, submit one to another. Ephesians 5:20. How can we not be in unity if we don't submit one to another? That is God's will for us. So what I want to do is I want to talk about something that comes and brings disunity to us. It brings disunity to me and God. It brings disunity to me and Nina. It brings disunity to me and my church. Some of you just stood up and said, I am not sexually immoral. I am not filthy. I am not. And yes, we are. We live in such an overly sexualized world. It has an impact on us. And some of us are not doing well with it. Before I go on any more with this, I need you to do me a favor. Please take out your cell phones right now. Please take out your cell phones. I need everyone in this room who's 18 or over to take a picture of this slide. What you have on this slide is three different ministries, one in Canada, one in Maryland, one in San Antonio, and then you have my church email address. Because you might need this, you might know someone who needs this, or you might need to be praying for these ministries and people that need these ministries. You see, one of the things that comes in and causes disunity, God says I'm his beloved, God says I am righteous and pure and holy, and here comes sexual sin, pornography, thoughts, whatever. Here they come, and it breaks that unity. And we don't talk about it that much in the church. We've mentioned it up here before, but we've never gone as deep, I believe, as we need to. And we're headed that way. We're headed that way because that's God's heart for us. I want to change that narrative. If you have questions, if you want to help someone, you want to be a mentor, you want to take someone to coffee, you want to hear their story, there's my email. We're headed that way. We need to. My friends, the average age of exposure is 8 years old. And the majority of new websites are designed for women. We can't just come here every week and sing Kumbaya. And we're not going to talk about this every week either. But we've got to know that God has a plan for life and life abundant for us in every area. God has a plan for transformation for us in every area. And God has a plan for unity and oneness for us in every area. Why is me and God, why is that so important? Why is my marriage so important? Why is my church so important? Because we are object lessons. In his kids, we're always looking for good object lessons to point the kids to Christ. Hey kids, take this piece of paper and write your sin on it. And then we're going to put it in this water. And the water is by the cross. Jesus died for that sin. Now put that paper in there. Oh, Ms. Nina, what happened to the paper? It dissolved. Just like your sin in God's eyes. That's an object lesson. I'm an object lesson. The world should see me and see oneness and unity with God. The world should see our marriages and see oneness with God. A man loving his wife the way Jesus loved the church. But the world should see our singles and see sanctification and holiness and righteousness. The world should see our church and see people that are talking to each other and aren't mad about the color of the chairs or the last sermon or the last potluck where I didn't get any food. And those are the things that get in our way when we're dealing with stuff like this. My prayer is that the church would go back to the way it used to be. This is how it used to be. Before I ever shared with anyone my struggle, I knew there was hope. I knew God could handle it. Because in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the church. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's us. We need that. We need that from one another, and the world needs that from High Point Fellowship. I love groups like CR and Regen and other things, but I believe that at some point in church history, the church stopped doing what it was supposed to be doing in this area, so those ministries had to come up. I just want this to be a place where we can talk about anything. Our kids are protected and loved. Our marriages are strong. Our singles walk in holiness and purity. No one falls through the cracks. Nothing is taboo. And God's plan for everything is brought to pass. And His plan is for transformation to look like Christ and for unity and oneness that looks like Him, three in one. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for your mystery, for your wisdom. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought of the gospel? With what it cost you, how did you ever come up with that for us? And yet it brings about for us holiness, righteousness, purity, oneness with you and with each other. That the world would know, Daddy, that you sent Jesus for them. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy and your goodness and your grace. Would you please just come, Holy Spirit, and increase the kingdom in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen.